What's going on, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager of Wrestle Addict Radio, and you are listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, a 2024 nominee for Best Wrestling Podcast by the Sports Podcast Awards.
This week on Kings of the Rings podcast, it's a special Tuesday edition of the show as we get ready to wake up really, really freaking early for Elimination Chamber. Somebody's got to do it. It's probably going to be me. We're going to go through everything happening at Elimination Chamber. Some little updates about WWE and WrestleMania. And did you smell what The Rock was wearing? It's pretty freaking awesome. So all that and more on episode number 368 of Kings of the Rings podcast, Chamber Danger, exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio. Thank you very much. And it starts right now. You know, I was having a lot of difficulty trying to figure out what the name of the show was going to be. And then Chamber Danger, like, came and I was like, this.
That's it.
This is freaking perfect.
Yeah, dude, rock solid. I can't believe you never thought. Like, we have Rumble of Royalties. We have Money for the Marks. How have you never thought of Chamber Danger?
I think Chamber Danger is going to be here to stay for as long as we do this show. Yeah, I think this is the perfect thing.
It's Chamber Danger 24, dude. Yes. Rocking Down Under. It's going to be great.
Yes. Chamber Danger 24. Rocking Down Under. That sounds perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode 368. Obviously, we just called it Chamber Danger. I am your host, King Ricky Rose. Thank you guys for joining us. We award nominated Kings of the Rings podcast. Obviously nominated. We did not win, unfortunately, for best wrestling podcast.
Did Conan win?
Conan did not win.
Thank God.
No, Conan did not win. Do not worry. Do not worry, Conan did not win. So if you guys like what you're watching, what you're listening to, please leave us a like, share, subscribe. Links to all of that are in the description below. Some of our merch is also in the description below as well. Links to all of that. Go check that out. With me this week, we were gonna get kayfabe, but kayfabe is here in spirit. But with me, back again for the umpteenth time, I guess the man who is rated currently a 77 in the latest WWE 2K24, Will Tarashuk. How
are
you?
Hell yeah, man. It's a work in progress. That 77 is going to be a 78 by the time this intro is over. Just wait and see. I am Will Tarashuk, T.S. Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. The 9 years, Ricky, this podcast reached 9 years during the break while we were gone. I don't know the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was the 15th, according that we were on iTunes for the first time, according to my Facebook memories, which is really the barometer I've been using for like what I was doing 9 years ago.
That's literally the only thing Facebook is good for these days.
Yeah, it is. Thank God I got to delete that post now. 9 years, Kings Rings podcast, 9 long years
Jesus
of doing
Christ.
This. So, yeah. Wow. Ricky, you came in episode like 30, 33 or 36 and somewhere in that
range. I believe it was 33 when Dean Ambrose cast. I believe it was 33.
Yeah. So yeah, nine years of podcasting. It's been
I'm well over 300 episodes in. It's kind of fucking nuts.
It's been a hell of a ride, man. It's been a hell of a ride. A lot of fun. I'm glad we're still here doing this.
Yeah, we are going to do this, and we are probably going to just a heads up. That's not true. There have been some biddies on the show actually, fair amount from all over the world.
I said, no bitches. Do we have plenty of bitches on the show? Please.
Yeah.
Dave was a host for how long? Dave's a bitch.
Shout out to Dave, the Godfather of the podcast. Yeah, Godfather of the podcast. But we are experimenting with Tuesday nights. This might be a more permanent thing, and it is going to be a more permanent thing. I'm actually thinking about. We'll talk about this on the post show. We'll probably changing up the format too, visual format.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by Anchor and the Riversides. I looked at Riverside and I was like, ooh, I could work with this.
Oh, Riverside's dope. Riverside's dope. It's an amazing platform.
So I'm thinking about maybe I have to fiddle with. I mean, we've got a month because all of the changes are going to happen post Mania. I got a month to fiddle with it.
Off of Skype, I am down for because Skype makes my audio sound way worse than it is for whatever reason. I have no idea why.
It's probably because I'm the primary.
It could be.
That's probably what it is. But anywho, folks, we are here to talk wrestling. And real quick, since I did the whole ratings thing, I only did that because I don't know if you've been watching any of the WWE product. They're being genius marketing people again. You know, they, during specific matches on SmackDown and Raw, they have revealed the ratings of the performers in the ring for WWE 2K24.
That is really clever.
Yeah. So they've been releasing all of that stuff very periodically, and it's actually pretty freaking clever. They also had had Michael Chandler on Raw last night.
That actually happened. I saw that. That wasn't live too. I gotta start believing the internet more. I'm a little too skeptical for my boots.
That was live. Yeah. So Samantha Irvin's like, oh yeah, by the way, UFC fighter Michael Chandler. So he takes the mic and he like stands up on top of his chair and he's like, he challenges Conor McGregor.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Triple H is probably just like, who's that? It's like, oh yeah, he works in our company. Oh yeah. He does do that, doesn't he? I mean, that's a fight I'd love to see, but I don't know if I'm gonna turn to a UFC podcast for a quick second. I don't even know if McGregor still fights anymore.
He's on that Brock Lesnar deal. He just shows up whenever the hell he wants to.
We can't say him anymore.
The guy formerly known as the Beast, who used to wrestle at the University of Minnesota.
He redacted. Former redacted UFC champion.
Former WWE champion. Roman Reigns' biggest adversary for a very, very long time. But speaking of which, that was on Raw. But on SmackDown, we got what we didn't know we actually wanted. I watched this happen. So Roman comes out. And he's talking about all of this stuff. He's being Roman. And then he said, we're going to finally say that The Rock is in the bloodline. And generic face rock music comes out, which I think was the only misstep in this entire thing. And then we got Versace $500 shirt wearing Rock, but the sleeves were cut off. I go, oh my God, he's gone Hollywood again. And then they just let him be an asshole on the mic to Utah, into the state of Utah for 10 minutes, and that's how the show ended. And I was like, yeah, I'm okay with this. I'm very okay with this. Well, I know you're a big Rock fan, and now you're probably pumped as hell that you're going to see The Rock at WrestleMania in some way, shape, or form, and see The Rock perform live for the first time ever in your life.
Yes, you know? Yes, 100% so true. I'm going to lose my mind regardless.
Yeah, so do you like the fact that Hollywood Rock is now here?
I do. I do like what they're doing. I think, well, let's go back a second to Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble, because it's been a while since you and I have done a show.
I talked about this with Will Graham, but we had a really great discussion about it.
Wild decision. Because by that Friday, it was just all over. And they just kind of fucked themselves. So something must have happened behind the scenes with The Rock actually doing the deal. So going into Rumble, Rock wasn't doing Mania. And then somewhere between that and, like, Friday, they just completely changed their mind. He changed his mind and they got a deal done. So, and then you go into the press conference. Press conference was out of this world fucking amazing. Like, wow.
I watched the press. Wow. I was like, this is much ado about nothing, but people are going to eat this shit up.
Yeah, it was amazing. a few gripes. It should have been Bayley instead of Bianca, but I understand why it's Bianca, because Bianca's still the bigger star.
Yeah.
And she has a new show coming out. Two.
The show's already out.
Already out. Two, yeah. CM Punk just going, being CM Punk and The Rock staring him down from the stage was... Wow. CM Punk does not give two fucks, and I hope he commentates WrestleMania.
CM Punk was absolutely brilliant. He was like, dude, if you're going to say something about me, we're going to be fighting. Tony Khan must have been so freaking pissed.
Yeah, yeah. Three, I still want Rock versus Roman one-on-one. I still think that's the bigger match. That's the match I would have preferred. However, Triple H has been down this road before, and it's funny, 10 years ago, the same build, WrestleMania 30, it was Daniel Bryan. I think WWE made the right call because the fans and the marks would have ruined that storyline between Rock and Roman.
Yeah, we've ruined many of Roman main events before.
Yeah, they would have ruined it. And
yeah.
So I think they made the right move by pivoting, and I was like, it's confusing as fuck. Let's give him a chance. Rock made a tweet. It's like, guys, just wait and see what happens. Cody made a tweet as well saying, guys, wait and see what happens. And now we got this. And I still would love to see Rock Woman 101, but we're going to get it eventually. And I'll have to fly out. Whoever the fuck I got to fly out to go and see it. But I'm going to go do it. So it's bittersweet because I think heel Rock is the right move. Him joining Roman is the right move. And the eventual turn, which is probably going to happen at Mania, is going to be even bigger for that next 101 match, even make more sense. So in the long run, I think it's the right call. That being said, I can't wait for Cody to lose again.
He can't lose again. That would be the worst.
I'm not gonna lie, he might lose again.
I can't be disappointed two WrestleManias in a row.
Dude, you can't ruin our big blockbuster match and then win. Like, you just can't do it, dude.
I do think Rock is a sleeper agent.
And I genuinely think Rock Roman needs the belt. I do. If the storyline is going to be who's the head of the table, it needs the belt. If the storyline is you fucked me over, I'm coming for you, then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't. And it's just a matter of which story would you rather tell and be told.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock doesn't need the belt to solidify himself over Roman. So correct. I think it's bigger than the belt.
I think it could be bigger than the belt, and I think WWE just actually gave themselves a lane to make it bigger than the belt.
Yeah.
So we'll just see what happens. I don't want to see the tag match. I don't give a fuck about the tag match, to be honest. I don't need to see Seth wrestle twice. Like, unless night one, Rock just buries Cody, and night one ends with the whole bloodline laying over Cody's bloody carcass.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, oh, okay, that tag match was worth it.
I honestly, of everybody in this WrestleMania build and all that, I feel so bad for Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns came out and obliterated that title.
Yeah, dude, Seth is just like, why are you still out here? I leaned over to Jazz. I was like, why is he still here? And she's like, bitch, I'm watching TikToks. Why are you still here? Still here?
I felt so bad for Seth. I was like, wow. I was like, Seth, you really should have just taken this WrestleMania off. You announced you were injured. You should have just called it quits then.
Dude, like, it is. I feel worse for him than I do for CM Punk because CM Punk's going to be able to have his moment. Seth Rollins is going to be stuck on the mid-card again when he was supposed to main event with Punk. Just
lovable loser Seth. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a visceral, like just a visceral attack on the credibility of a wrestler and their belt ever. Like, it felt like it was personal. It felt like he actually pissed off Roman.
Yeah. You know what? He should have. He should have been pissed off because what Seth said was just wrong on every single level. It was like, this is a workman's title. Yeah, no one cares. Like, sorry.
I was like, Jesus.
Like, he's like, Roman's just like, yeah, I don't need to be here. Like, I'm not here. I'm still bigger than you. And Seth's just like,
yeah, no, it was bad. There's a pretty interesting thing. So I had my friend over the other day, and I've been showing them they're big Rock fans. They watched in like middle school, high school, big Rock fans. So I showed them the clip of Rock coming out back as Hollywood Rock. Instantly they got it. They're like, oh my God, this is the Rock I remember. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
It really does work for the casual.
It does, dude. I mean, heel Rock. I mean, we haven't seen heel Rock since 2002. Like 2004. Yeah. 2004 when he first came back. So, I mean, seeing the Rock as itself is great, but we've seen the Rock sporadically the past few years. It's always been this babyface Rock cutting the same promo, just amazing because he's still the Rock. Like, Rock can cut the same type of promo on a different person, and it works. But heel Rock? It's pretty awesome. Look at that vest, dude. He's fucking huge. Although, I will say, I didn't like, he made an Instagram post explaining to his movie fans what a heel is.
Did he really?
He did. Because, like, here's the thing. Rock is still a movie star. He still needs a safe face. He needs to remind people he's playing a character on TV. Which is
really funny for a movie star to be saying, I'm playing a character.
I know, right? Which takes me out of the moment, but at the same time, I get it. He still has a brand to protect.
Yeah, multiple like
it's,
brands.
It's not good for advertisers. We see he's on stage calling a Utah person fat and like bulbous fingers. Like,
yeah, he called. He's like, "I'll slap the herpes out your face."
Yeah, right. It's just like he's like, "Guys, this isn't real."
You and your like, 50 wives.
Yeah, so like I get why he did it, but it's like as a wrestling fan, it's just like, come on, Rock.
Yeah, all right. Live so do you think, sir, we get Rock Conscious back? Like, because your Rock Concert Rock was Rock Concert Rock was when he was Hollywood Rock.
Yeah, and he did it on Vicky last time he did it was on Vicky.
My favorite one he did is when he was in Sacramento.
Oh yeah, they destroyed Sacramento. Destroyed Sacramento.
It's like, it's not my fault. My man Shaq calls y'all the Sacramento Queens. And walked away. So Hollywood Rock, part of the Bloodline. The Bloodline just running rampant on Raw last night, too. Really fucked up Cody. Also, honorable mention for Player Hater of the Year. Drew McIntyre's on a heel roll. I want the CM Punk WrestleMania graveyard shirt.
I do, too. That was... because, you know, well... So, the story was... how he stormed out of Survivor Series?
Yeah, which I thought was all part of the show.
Well, that... Was
well, no, he had to get out of the way because Punk
Seth,
was coming so back.
So Seth was part of the show.
Yeah.
Drew was not. And because Drew was supposed to have the title match with Seth at Mania.
Oh.
Right? That was the plan going into November. And then Punk came back and took his spot. So he was legitimately mad. Right.
He also had to get out of the way for when Punk was going to come back.
And then they turn it into a storyline with the promos because Drew's still a professional. And now that he's hurt, Drew slid back into that slot and he's just trolling. So, yeah.
It's a great shirt.
So that was actually legitimately real because he was supposed to be in the title picture to begin with.
Listen, it makes sense. I still would have lobbied for because I thought Gunther had a great option. You could have done Gunther Seth title for title. Get the IC the main event for the first time in a very long time.
I mean, it would have been cool. It would have had, you know, Hogan Warrior vibes.
That's what I'm going for, yeah.
But you're just going to combine two mid workman's titles into one. Like,
well, he can claim himself he's the better workhorse than Seth.
See, but then what do
Which
you do
he is.
With, but what do you do with both belts?
He can say, since as like the Gunther character is snobby, I'll be like, there's no one who can beat me. He just drops it and gives it off to somebody else because now he's a world champion.
See, but so I get that, and it would be a cool moment for Gunther and like a WrestleMania moment. But then you don't bury Gunther's title reign, but you don't carry that momentum that gets carried with that win over Gunther. This gets dropped and it's dead. It doesn't get transferred to that new person. Like Jey Uso would have been a perfect person to win this belt. Because that momentum would have transferred over to him and elevated both him and the title and Gunther.
Yeah.
Whereas this winning the belt and then dropping the next night because you don't need to, it just, no one looks good from doing that, including the
Understandable.
Belt.
Understandable.
Including the belt. As cool a moment it would be for WrestleMania and us marks would lose our mind and the match would be out of this world. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it happened. So we'll see what I'm very scared to see what Gunther's gonna do. Like, I don't know who he faces or anything, but
also, guys, we're living through history. Did we just forget that? Like, I don't know why people are so excited for Gunther to drop the title. It's like, dude, you're gonna be telling your kids about this title reign, right?
Yeah.
You don't want this to end. Like, have you ever ran into a wrestling fan? They go, "Oh, Bruno had the best run," and you kind of go, "Well, yeah." 20 years from now, that's going to be us. Gunther had the best run. This flippy McDippy guy can suck my cock, right? So I don't want him to drop ever. I want him to be had this IC title for 3 more years so I can say I witnessed the greatest history in wrestling.
He is, at whatever title he holds, whether it's IC or world, he's going into Berlin as a champion.
Yeah. In fact, he's probably gonna drop in Berlin because this you love your curse, but then again, he's gonna be a big baby face there. So maybe not.
It is gonna be crazy. So WrestleMania is finally taking shape, you know, with all these matches and subtle and hints matches coming up
versus Uso Blue. Dude, one of them's got to come out as Charizard. The other one's got to come out as Blastoise, because that's literally what it's going to be. It's just Red versus Blue.
I was thinking Red versus Blue, like the Halo characters, the Halo show.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool, too. Yeah. That'd work, too.
That would be amazing. So also something
Master
going
Chief.
Up
in oh, I'm the Master title, Chief. Title for Master Chief, dude. Master
Chief, yes.
Head of the table and the Master Chief.
Head of the table and the Master Chief. So the other big thing that WWE announced this week, starting on SmackDown and on Raw, with a press release coming out Monday night as well, is WWE World at WrestleMania a Fanatics event experience.
Is this just access?
It looks like it's going to be a rebranded access. So let me read to you the press release. I have it right here next to me. And it goes a little something like this. WWE and Fanatics events, because they just outsource the Fanatics now, and I don't blame them. Officially announced details for WWE World at WrestleMania. 5 days, pretty much the entire 5 days that we're going to be there, Will. Yep. Interactive fan experience taking place from Thursday, April 4th to Monday, April 8th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philly, right across the street from us, or right down the road from us, actually. Tickets will be available starting this Thursday, February 22nd at 10 a.m. You want to know what the ticket range is?
God, probably like $20 to $400.
Close, $30 to
$300. God damn it. I can only pay
$20. They say WWE World of WrestleMania will feature a variety of immersive experiences for fans, including a central main stage, which will host a WWE roundtable discussion. Interesting. A WWE 2K24 gaming tournament. Very interested in that.
I'm going to get my ass whooped if I ever play that.
Live podcast recordings. What podcast? I want to know about it.
Dude, Sam's podcast, please. I am Sam with fucking what's his name? Sam, the bald guy.
Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts. Yeah, I am Sam with Sam Roberts.
They're also going to have live memorabilia and autograph sales through Fanatics Live, which Fanatics Live does, like, they do live auctioning on streams all the time. All right, this kind of scares me because I don't know if I have enough money for this. They are claiming they're going to have the largest WWE superstore in WrestleMania history.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah. The event will also feature exclusive merchandise, autograph sessions, and meet and greets with WWE superstars and legends, in addition to immersive exhibits and memorabilia honoring WrestleMania's 40-year history. So this is, to me, this is access.
Yeah.
Rebranded for like the umpteenth time. So the last time I was at Access or whatever they're going to call it that year in Dallas for 38, it was like you paid like $10 for an all week pass. And then you paid extra for like these little immersive experiences and the store and all of that and all of the other random shit. But now they're saying they're going to be ticket packages between $30 and $300. And they don't tell you what that money goes to. So we're going to do our best today to figure out what do you get for 30 and what might you get for something a little bit higher.
30 is just GA. That's all it is. It's general admission. You get to walk in the doors and look around. So I'm assuming everything else you have to pay for, pretty much.
Yeah.
$300 will get you access like the round table, right? Just access to events. You probably skip lines.
Fast pass it.
You probably, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if you can get in an hour early. So
that'd be dope.
$30, like say it opens at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. You get open at 9.
You get in at 9, and GA probably opens up at like 11, right? And it's probably like a,
maybe,
you know, something like that. They you just get extra things, skip lines, and access to special events. $300.
Fred says $30 ring crew, $300 NXT contract.
I mean, that too. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm assuming you do 30 like GA. I think sounds weird. Like 300. Like I wonder what the tiers are. Yeah. So does 300 get you like guaranteed meet and greets? Like you don't pay extra for the meet and greets.
Probably.
And you like you know guaranteed autographs and shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if like there's tiered meet and greets. Like tier ones like Taker, Seth Rollins, like Becky Lynch, that kind of tier.
Yeah.
Tier two is like your Gunthers, your New Days, not New Days, your Usos, whatever, some legends like Steamboat, whatever. And then tier three is just everyone else. Yeah. If you get a $300 ticket, you get access to a tier one and tier two. You just have to pick it. You just have to choose, right?
Gotcha.
For free.
Yeah.
For free. Than anything else you can pay for. That's probably, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I'm just hoping they do, like, you know, the general admission for the whole weekend.
Yes.
Because I thought that worked perfectly.
Well, that's probably, honestly, it's probably $30 a day.
I really hope not. But we'll, I mean, we'll, we're going to find out in 2 days.
I mean, I would totally, be, I totally would be, oh, by the time this episode's released, it'll be public.
Yeah.
I'm totally down to, like, do a mid-tier package.
Yeah.
If it's worth it. Cause
yeah, I need more details on the packages and what we get with that. Cause I'd be down for that as well. And like, also, I looked it up and I know we talked about it a couple of days ago. WrestleCon's a 15-minute walk from where we're staying.
WrestleCon's fun. Honestly, yeah. I like walking around and talking to people and shaking the wrestlers' hands more than like paying for a selfie.
Yeah.
Like paying.
Ric Flair just got announced, by the way.
Paying. Ric Flair got announced. Of course he did. Paying extra for a picture is just annoying. I think I get it, but I don't like it. So I'm fine just walk around saying hi and shaking hands.
Yeah, and I also found out, we'll talk about a lot more.
Except the Sandman, he choked me with the cane, which is totally worth it.
You also got choked by Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter put me in the Cobra Clutch, which is also super worth it. It's like, if you're going to do shit like that, yeah, I'll pay you for that.
Yeah, no, I also found out WrestleCons has a 2300 arena for the weekend.
Is that
the ECW arena?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
they got the ECW cool. arena for the weekend. Which is pretty crazy. So WWE World at Fanatics, it's going to be an interesting time. We'll see what the ticket packages are. We're probably going to be there. I know we're going to be there. And it's going to, I'm excited for it. I'm very scared about how big this store is going to be because that's where I spend the most time in is the store.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at not buying merch like that, though. I'll buy the skull because I always buy the skulls.
I buy the skulls as well.
And I'll probably buy like the penny flag because who doesn't like a good pennant?
There you go. The pennant flag is good. Yeah.
Shirts. I don't buy shirts. I don't buy t-shirts ever.
Yeah. My big thing, I always have to buy a skull. It's like for whenever I go to WrestleMania, it's a skull, commemorative cup.
Yep.
Obviously. Clear bag.
Yep.
If my Connors Cures bracelet doesn't break, I'll buy a Connors Cures bracelet. Like if my Connors Cures bracelet breaks, I'll buy another one.
Who's that dude who does the doodles, the artwork?
Oh, Schamberger, Rob Schamberger.
Yeah, if
he's amazing.
If I'm feeling crazy, I might buy one of those.
I don't have any more space for like I already have. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, I do. I got plenty of wall space.
I have 10 on the wall right now.
Dude, did I show you my staff of Gandalf I have over here?
I feel like you have.
Oh, dude, it's like a legitimate life size replica. It's like an actual staff. It almost goes above my head. But
yeah, no.
I had it mounted on the wall and it fell off last week.
Yeah, so no.
I'm eating in the corner. It's a bummer.
Yeah. No, Schamberger's great. Like, I actually like being at the Schamberger booth because he's usually just painting.
Yeah, he's just hanging out.
And his wife runs the stand, and she's really freaking nice. So yeah, no, WWE World, I'm really excited for. Before we get to WrestleMania and all of that, we still have one last stop, and that is the Elimination Chamber from Perth, Australia. It is going to be about 6-7 p.m. when the show starts with them at local Australian time. For us on the East Coast, the event starts at 5 a.m., which means on the West Coast, it starts at 2 a.m. Okay. The only, like, the one time I'm like, maybe I should live on the, like, I can do a 2 a.m. show. 5 a.m. is going to be a little bit rough for me.
No, dude, it means it's going to end at 5. I'd rather be up at 5 have it end at 8. So, yeah, very dude, true. I'm in a real conundrum because Saturday morning is Bill Maher time. I always watch Bill Maher first thing on Saturday morning.
At 5 a.m. on Saturday morning?
No. Like when I wake up in the morning at 10 a.m.
Okay.
So we call him Grandpa because Bill Maher is such a fucking grandpa. It's hilarious. So I don't know what I'm going to do. In the matter, it's a matter of what do I watch first? Do I watch Bill Maher first or Thor in Elimination Chamber first?
I don't know.
I'm gonna wake up Saturday morning. Maybe I'll do a Saturday afternoon because I like to order pizza or wings or whatever when I do these WWE shows. Maybe I'll do Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Stay off Twitter, stay off Instagram, and just put it on at 1 o'clock.
That sounds fair. I mean, I think I'm probably gonna take the challenge. I thought about this. I was like, there are people in other countries like Europe, England, like the UK.
Yeah.
That do this all the time.
They do it for Raw.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I can't feel that highly of myself to not give this a try once and suffer for this one time. They're also doing a press conference Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, because it'll be like afternoon there the next day. So it's going to be a lot of interesting late night programming for WWE, or early morning programming over the weekend. So Elimination Chamber is it's pretty much, I think, four matches on the card. Just to give you guys a quick update on where we are. We did a prediction, myself, Will, and Kay, last time we were all for Rumble of Royalties.
I didn't know these are real predictions, by the way, so don't judge mine.
Well, I'm right now, overall, I am up by one. Well,
that's because I picked Bully Ray to come out in the Rumble. If I knew we were doing actual predictions, I would not have done Bully Ray.
Yeah, what's happened was we all tied in our predictions for the actual matches. We all got CM Punk as the winner, and we all got it wrong. We got everybody else right. But it was all about the surprise entrance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got two surprise entrants correct.
I don't think I got any.
Yeah, you did. You got Andrade.
Ah, cool.
You got Andrade. So I'm up five. I'm up by one. I have five. Everybody else is four. So we're going to continue this prediction battle going into Elimination Chamber. We're going to start with the Men's Elimination Chamber, which I will admit is fucking stacked. You have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Logan Paul, who probably has a death wish being with all these guys in the ring right now. This is going to be brutal. Obviously, the winner of this gets to challenge Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. Kayfabe, who's not with us on the show, has already made their predictions for this. Kay has chosen that the winner of the match they predict will be Drew McIntyre. There are some bonus questions here as well. Kay believes the first person eliminated in the Men's Elimination Chamber will be Kevin Owens, and the final two members of the Men's Elimination Chamber will be Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. So, Will, I leave it to you. What are your choices for this, sir?
Let's see. This is for the Raw belt.
Not even calling it the World Heavyweight title.
Kevin Owens, SmackDown. Bobby Lashley, SmackDown. Okay. Randy Orton, also SmackDown. Logan Paul, also SmackDown. LA Knight, SmackDown. I don't know, Ricky. Who's going to go for the Raw belt on this one? Maybe the Raw superstar, Drew McIntyre. Just a hunch. I think Drew's going to win this one. What, I'm fully fucking stupid here? Come on now. This is ridiculous.
There's going to be a lot of things set up in this match, though. I think we do set up LA Knight, Logan Paul.
I hope so. For Mania. Because yeah. I know we KO Logan Paul, left everyone at the table, but I want Logan Paul, LA Knight. Although I will say Kevin Owens is probably a little more blockbuster than LA Knight.
A little bit. I mean, we got to get the KO Mania shirts like sell like hotcakes.
I mean,
every
you could do a triple threat too, which I would not be mad at, because that means Logan Paul can keep the belt, which would also be really funny. But I think LA Knight should get that belt, and I think it should be 1-on-1, because I think he's done so much good work over the past year.
Oh yeah,
you got to reward him with something. It's got to be backstage politics for the reason he's not getting like a 1-on-1. If he doesn't get it, it's got to be backstage politics at this point.
Maybe at some point. So, who is the first person eliminated from this for you, Will?
Damn, that's a tough one, man. I think they do. I think Bobby Lashley comes in early, and they do a spot where like four guys team up on him and they get him out first.
Wow. Okay.
Because Bobby Lashley looks like the tank. Unless they do like a Kevin Owens screwy thing with Logan Paul, which would be really funny. But I think Logan Paul comes in last because he's a celebrity, and I think he should be eliminated by then. Because they're gonna do a spot where they all circle Logan Paul in the pod when he comes out last, and it's gonna be great.
He's got to get his licks in.
Yeah, so I think Bobby Lashley gets eliminated first, and they surprise you.
All right, so Wade in our chat here is saying LA Knight's gonna win, but he thinks KO gets out first. So he says, all right, so who are the final two? So you're picking Drew. Drew's in your final two. Who's the other person that Drew goes up against?
I also got Randy Drew. I think
I do like Drew and Randy as the last two. Drew and Randy
is a really good one.
Oh, I just figured it out. I think. Hold on, as I'm typing this in, so I don't have to fucking do it later. I think Logan Paul takes a mean RKO.
Oh, yeah. Somehow into a stunner.
Like, I feel like he's going to get Claymore kick, stunned, and RKO'd in the same moment.
Oh, that was my spot for Bobby, though.
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly, for some reason, I don't see Bobby even, like, Bobby might not even make it into the chamber because he's got that beef with Paul Ellering and the Legion of Dead People. Not the Legion of Dead People.
Oh, yeah. I already forgot that happened.
Yeah.
What up, Wade?
With Carrion, yeah. Logan goes for a buckshot and gets Claymore. Actually, yes. Yeah, I want to do that. Cool. That would be absolutely amazing. Right, for me, I mean, it does. I would love to see Seth and Randy again, just because we saw it at Mania like years ago with the greatest RKO of all time. Remember that in 31?
Oh, yeah. The for the stomp.
Yeah, he lifted it up for the stomp. But you're right. The story here is Drew McIntyre. Drew has slipped his way back into a main event. He'll finally get a proper main event with Seth Rollins, which will be a massive toss-up for who wins that. So I am going to go with Drew as well. First person to get knocked out of the match? Ooh, let's see. I'm looking at this. Because you want to kind of create a shock factor. What if, like, I'm going to go for a wild card here. I think LA Knight gets eliminated first.
That'd be a real bummer. But people would be very mad.
He gets a, but he, that's how you give him heat. He gets eliminated.
LA Knight, no.
He gets eliminated by Logan Paul.
God, that would be good heat. That's not a bad. I thought about taking that pick. I thought about going that way.
Yeah, I think you know.
If Patterson were alive, I would have done it, but he's not.
If LA Knight's road is set, if they finally like hammer that in, if LA Knight's road is set already and he is going to get that Mania like a night one opener or a night two opener, get him out first and get the person he's going to face to eliminate him, which I still think should be the Logan Paul. The final two, it's going to be Drew and I don't want to say Drew and Randy, although Randy makes all the sense in the world.
I think Drew and Logan would be really fun, to be honest.
I think I'm gonna go Drew and Logan. I think they're gonna they might hype it up. Like Logan just gets really lucky a lot of the time in the match, and Drew just beats him down at the end. Something like that. Because I can't see Kevin staying for that long. I can't see LA Knight staying for that long. It's between like Drew and Randy or Drew and Logan. But just for sake, I'm going to say Drew and Logan are the final two.
It's a bold prediction.
It's a very bold prediction. It's probably an incorrect prediction. I'll tell you that right now, but a bold one nonetheless. At least
you didn't pick Bully Ray, all right?
It was an idea. All right, moving on. The Women's Elimination Chamber match, which is actually a very intriguing one because, like, all but two of these women have actually been in the chamber before. Becky Lynch, first time in the chamber. Bianca Belair won a chamber match. Tiffany Stratton, the next big thing in the women's division in WWE. She's freaking amazing. Literally, you get called up like 2 weeks ago, and now you're in the chamber. That's a lot of faith in somebody off the jump. Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez finally back from injury, and Liv Morgan was the only other woman, I think, in here in the chamber. The winner of this match obviously goes up against Mommy or whoever the Women's World Heavyweight Champion is at the end of the chamber. So, Will, back to you. Who wins this whole thing?
Well, if you watch the press conference, they made it blatantly obvious it's going to be Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
With that incredible stare down they had and the promos. And did they do a pull apart?
They did not do. It was just a stare down.
Stare down?
It was not a pull apart. No,
then Pierce came out and they split them apart. Not a pull apart.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a pull apart.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the match. Like, Rhea Ripley hasn't had any credible challengers in a year. Like, really, she's had matches, she's defended, but no one, like, no builds really, not much of a storyline. Nia Jax is going to be a good match, and I'm glad she's getting that spotlight. But we've just been waiting to do Becky and Rhea for the longest time. And mm-hmm. Bianca and Rhea have like Randy Orton and Cena matches ahead of them where you're going to have enough of them. So it's time for Becky Lynch, and they're going to put on a hell of a show at WrestleMania. I'm surprised this is Becky's first chamber.
I kind of am too, to be honest with you, because I thought she had done one before, but she's never done one. I think every other one of the four horsewomen have done them except for Becky, and I don't know why that is. But also, the match at Mania writes itself, Mommy versus the Man.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's an event t-shirt right there.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. Mommy versus Man, WrestleMania.
The sex jokes just write themselves.
Listen, Becky called Rhea a bottom.
A bottom.
During the press conference.
Yeah. She just went, a power bottom.
Yeah.
That's what she should have said.
I'm going to go with Becky as well, because it's very undeniable that Becky's got to be in the front run. My second guess would have been Bianca, because like you said, Bianca and Rhea, they can run that match forever and ever. But you don't need that. I think Bianca's on to something bigger or something more like highlight worthy. Like I know Bianca's going to get a spotlight match at Mania, because they'd be stupid not to give her a spotlight match. Mm-hmm. You know, against who it's gonna be will be very interesting. I hope so.
Bianca after that Rumble, yeah,
after that Rumble performance, I was like, give it to me
it's
now.
It's gonna be Bianca and Jade, or it's gonna be Nia and Jade. The question is, do you want Jade to win? If you want her to win, you put up against Nia. If you don't mind her losing and looking good, you put up against Bianca. If she goes against Bianca, Bianca wins.
Yeah,
because Jade's still green.
Yeah, but like, oof. That'd be the shock of a century if she beat Bianca. Like, that's a great upset story. It's a great upset story. Wade says Jade ends Bianca's streak. It could be. All right, so same question as before. Who's the first person eliminated from this match?
Oh, man. Probably Raquel.
Yeah, she was the last chance qualifier.
Yeah.
So she won a pretty, she or, won, she or won Tiffany a rumble. Stratton. I think they keep Tiffany for a while.
Yeah,
Tiffany's
got
crazy
new
athleticism. I they're going to keep Tiffy because she had a crazy match with Becky in NXT. They did a crazy couple of matches. They did a great job together working. So I think they continue that. I think the odd person out is Raquel. At the one, how she gets out is gonna be interesting. But I think Raquel gets knocked out first.
Yeah, I do too. I'm glad Naomi's back.
Oh, that was like the best part of the Rumble for me. Her entrance.
Yeah.
You know, when Naomi came back at the Rumble, when like the lights went out and the strobe lights, I was like, oh my god, Dave's probably losing his mind right now.
I forgot Dave.
You know how much he loved Naomi.
I forgot how much he loved Naomi. Oh my god, that is core memory unlocked.
As I write this up, we all picked Raquel, by the way. Also, kayfabe also picked Becky to win. We were in Orlando for Mania 33, which was supposed to be Taker's retirement match, which did not happen. And you know how at Accesses in the past, they have like the one-of-one stuff that are signed by the performers?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave bought a giant like Naomi one-of-one picture.
Of course he did.
On top of all, I remember us leaving with like trash bags of merchandise as we were young and just had money to blow.
Wasn't Dave dating that black chick at the time?
No, he wasn't. It was after.
It was after that?
It was after, yeah.
God. I gotta reach out to Dave again. If he's at Mania, I wanna see him.
That'd be amazing.
I actually, because of 9 years, I made a LinkedIn post about Dave. I was like, it's time one of my unsung heroes gets his song. I just wrote a song for Dave. It was shout out to Dave. I miss Dave.
Shout out to Dave. That'd be great. All right, so with Becky probably being the winner, who faces Becky in as the final two?
Oh, man. Probably Liv Morgan.
I was like, Becky and Bianca would be a great one and two.
Becky and Bianca, it's too obvious, though.
Yeah.
You need a surprise. I'm going to go Liv Morgan. Because people love Liv Morgan still, for whatever reason.
Listen, I saw the mugshot. I'd love her too.
I mean, she had a great mugshot.
Yeah, that mugshot was fantastic. I don't think it's Liv. I'm again going to go for a wild card. So you said Becky and Liv?
Yeah.
Okay. Kayfabe said Becky and Bianca. I'm going to go Becky and Tiffy. Just because I've seen them work together. So I'm going to go with the shock factor there.
Okay.
Yeah. Becky and Tiffy. You said Becky and who? Liv.
Liv.
Yeah, you only live once, right? So there's that match. Next, there's only like 4 matches on this card, by the way. Probably for good reason, because we're all watching it at 5 a.m. Gotta get in and out. And who knows what they're probably going to put on last minute and all that. What I actually think is going to be the main event, and rightfully so, Rhea Ripley is going to defend the Women's World title against Nia Jax, and I think they're giving her the main. I think she gets the main event spot.
Oh, you know what?
So, like, I looked online when I was looking at the match card, and Rhea and Nia is the number one spot. Then everything after that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it makes sense.
Like, I mean, she came out on Raw, or not on, she was in, like, a little backstage interview saying that she hasn't wrestled in her own country in 7 years, and that's when she was on the indies.
Yeah.
And, like, she's... From what I recall, and just knowing the brief history, I don't think they've ever had like an Aussie world champion outside of Rhea. Of anybody of like Australian descent.
Mel Gibson.
No. So I think it makes sense that she main events this night. Like, no, like it works because like she's the attraction. She's the only odd. Like, they didn't get Bronson Reed in the chamber, which I thought was a
really weird. Like, you should have as many Aussies as you can on the show.
He's the only one. He's the only active one. Hell, bring
Iconics back. Who gives a shit?
I don't know if they're... Because I know they both just had children. So I don't know if they're even, like, ring ready. I thought about that, too. I was like, if the Iconics show up, that'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
It would be really fun. Doing what? I don't know, man. Those tag titles are useless.
Just have them be them. Because, like, I always thought the Iconics were stupidly entertaining for no reason. They're like...
They were stupid, all right. Billy Kay is handing out resumes.
Billy Kay's single run was fantastic. When she just joined every faction.
Yeah, I mean, if Bronson's... I'm just reading the chat. If Bronson's wife's about to pop, yeah, that makes sense. Like,
Especially
if it's his first child.
I'd be like, hey,
Paul, let me miss my child be born.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay.
I mean, that's the reason Gunther disappeared for like 2 weeks.
He got married. And he had a kid.
Well, no, and he had a kid.
Then later on, he had the kid. Yeah, he had a kid later on.
Yeah, he had the kid later on.
I'm glad WWE has parental leave. You know, that's nice of them. That's nice of them.
It's very kind of them to do. Gotta love those new age policies. So yeah, it's good for him. No, I think Rhea's going to get a crazy pop. She's gonna lose. She's gonna beat Nia. I think that's clearly obvious. She's gonna beat Nia.
Uh-huh.
But I really hope that the inevitability of his match doesn't overshadow the performance I think Nia is gonna be able to give. Because like they've been building Nia really well ever since she came back.
I saw a post the other day. Of like Nia is just not giving it. Like she's just, they called her the Braun Strowman of the women's division, where she's like not even trying. And I was like, "What? Are you sure? What program are you watching?"
It's like you're watching the same thing.
So I didn't watch Raw last week, but the Raw the week before, when she was just like get that fake crying, I was like, mm-hmm. She was just bad at it. Like, she wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she wasn't trying or she wasn't playing the character, but she is. Wasn't believable. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you're doing there, yeah. Nia. But I think her run's been very good. She did great in the Rumble. Jade over crazy. Yeah. Like, her and Becky, this feud's been good. Her promos are good. Her matches are fine. She beat Becky, which is surprising.
Yeah.
So I think this is the best she's ever been by far.
Yeah, she's better at soaking up the crowd as a heel.
Yes.
Like, remember when she got the babyface run after she beat Alexa Bliss, which is a great story.
Yeah.
Like, that story they did was fantastic. She floundered as a face.
Yeah. She's very real comfortable. Badly. She looks very comfortable on screen right now.
She does. She does. And I wish her all the best. I love that they gave her the bonsai drop and called to be annihilated. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, it's great. Everything about it is good.
This is absolutely perfect. And I think Rhea respects her enough that they're going to put on a fun match. Like a really, really fun match. It's going to be a main event worthy match, which I believe will be Nia's first PLE main event.
It would
be. And definitely Rhea's. Yeah,
it would be.
I'm very excited for this, but I think LOL Rhea wins. Like, I think it's very, very easy to call that Rhea's going to win this, and rightfully so. However, like you said earlier, this is technically Rhea's hometown. But I do not think WWE is insane.
The only way Rhea Ripley loses this belt is if Damian Priest cashes in on her. That is the only way she would lose this belt. And he goes, it's my yard now. And this holds up her belt. And then the Damian Priest, like, dancing thing he used to do. Like,
yeah.
The flailing.
Can you imagine that? He's like 6'8". Can you imagine that guy like moshing at a concert?
No. No, I'd leave.
It's so dangerous.
I would find the nearest country music star and just go to their concert instead and be like, wow, this is way better.
Oh, you mean Beyonce?
Yes, Beyonce. Okay. Can we talk about the in the post show, the Beyonce, like that Oklahoma radio station?
That refused to play her?
No, they didn't know. So we'll talk about the post show because this is a misunderstanding.
Oh my God. Beyonce dominating country music to the.
Smart. She's doing is very smart. And her actually reasoning for doing the album, I think, is actually very, very, very smart and intelligent and good marketing. So, yeah, post show, yeah. We'll talk about it.
Super Bowl commercial was fantastic. She's like, oh, you broke the internet again. Oh, watch what I do next. God damn it, Beyonce.
Yeah, for real. And her movie was great.
God damn it. But yeah, LOL Rhea wins. A much-deserved main event for her. It's going to be a pretty awesome time. She's probably going to get some crazy pyro. That's an open-air stadium, too. That pyro is going to be nuts for her. And I can't wait for that. Last but not least, a surprising yet very exciting tag team championship match. You're going to have Judgment Day, Priest and Balor versus essentially British Strong Style. They just haven't called them that yet. Tyler Bate and, yes, Will, Pete Dunne to go up for the tag titles. I know. It was about time.
I love how Michael Cole still called him Butch on Raw the next week.
Did he really?
He's like, on this SmackDown, it's going to be Butch and Tyler Bate versus DIY. And I think it was McAfee goes, he goes by Pete Dunne now. Got his name back, Cole.
So Fretz Romania in our chat is reporting that New Catch Republic is the tag team name, apparently, which
yuck.
I like it a little too long.
NCR? Was this Fallout New Vegas? The NCR? New California Republic?
I don't know. I mean, I like it because I guess I don't want to be British Strong Style without Trent. New Catch Republic, I guess. Cool, but they're not really catch as catch can. Yeah. That, I think that's what it comes from.
They just call them the Grizzled Young Veterans. Because
WWE owns the names.
Honestly, dude, they're both like 28 years old, but they're veterans. They've been in this company forever. And they're both jaded about it, so they're grizzled about it. They're both grizzled young veterans. The name makes way more sense.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. That would be absolutely freaking fantastic. Kayfabe selecting, which is pretty, was pretty obvious, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate winning this. I kind of think if there is a title change on this in this card, it's going to be this one. And I think because of the trend of what they've been doing with R-Truth and making him like the hottest guy in wrestling next to Cody Rhodes, like.
It's really funny. R-Truth is just on a dude. It's dude. The Dominic Nick Mysterio.
They did an eight-man tag. Okay. They did an eight-man tag of Awesome Truth and DIY, which R-Truth calls DX. Okay.
I know, he calls it DX.
Versus the actual members of Judgment Day. When R-Truth got the hot tag, the place exploded. He did the five moves of Doom, and they acted like it was John Cena.
So funny, dude. I don't know how he does it, but...
Did you see what they did with R-Truth last night or on Monday?
No.
So they had Jackie Redmond. They did like a 2020 like video special on him with like dramatic music in the background.
Like when it is like his Judgment Day origin a few weeks ago. Yeah.
So then they had R-Truth and Jackie Redmond like walking down the street like a 2020 interview. And R-Truth is just riffing right now. And then he goes, this must feel, I guess this must have been what it felt like when Genuine made the song Pony. in the middle of the interview.
I want to know who his agent is.
And, oh my God. So I think this is all trend because they keep beating the crap out of R-Truth. I don't know how he keeps on getting as hot as a babyface. He's like older than everybody in WWE. So here's what I think, and this is going to be my bonus question and my selection. I'm going to go with kayfabe here. I think R-Truth interferes and costs them the title. And I think you get, I think Bate and Dunn holding those titles can do much more than what the Judgment Day has done with those titles. Because I think you want to start to create a rift in the Judgment Day, and they got to get some of those titles off of their hands. And I think Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne do more with those titles. And you also have R-Truth, you know, interfering and costing them the win.
I think it's very possible. I think it's very, very possible, especially because Finn's deal expires like right after or shortly after Mania. And,
oh, yeah.
And Damian has that Money in the Bank briefcase. So you need to get these titles off of them sooner rather than later. I assume Finn's re-signing. Not a doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah.
But Damian still has that briefcase, and he needs to cash it in soon.
He needs to do something with that shit. Yeah,
so if there is time to do it, now is probably the time. That being said, I'm going to hold off. I think Priest and Finn retain.
Do you think they drop at a bigger moment, like, you know, WrestleMania?
They probably drop it at Mania.
Okay, so Priest and Finn retain. Okay. Does R-Truth get involved?
Yes.
All right. That is literally all the matches on the card for Judgment Day. Not for Judgment Day, for Elimination Chamber. They have Judgment Day colors for this PLE. But the other thing that's happening, the other Aussie that's going to be highlighted, they have the Grayson Waller effect, essentially the Australian Roddy Piper. And he's going to have Cody and Seth on the Grayson Waller effect show at Elimination Chamber. So big question is, what the hell happens here? Does anything actually get done, or is this much ado about nothing?
I mean, if Rock and Roman showed up...
It's not happening. Rock and Roman is not showing up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You never know. What the fuck else are they going to do? These two aren't in a match together. So, I don't know.
So Seb's like, I'm going to be your shield, which was like cute, whatever, whoever wrote that.
You know,
while like, because they've been messing with, they messed with Cody's match. Like Cody and Drew put on a banger of an opening match for Raw. Like they opened up Raw with Cody and Drew in a singles match.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely buck wild. And then Jey Uso, they did the WrestleMania 39 finish. Jey came in to distract the ref, and then Solo came in a black hoodie and gave Cody the Samoan spike, and Drew beat him with a claymore. So the whole thing now is they're just going to terrorize. They're going to terrorize Cody. So, like, it would make sense if they showed up. They're not advertised for the event
yeah.
at all.
This Hulk Hogan comes out.
Kid Australia.
I am a real Australian.
I will say of all the like people's social media accounts, Grayson Wall was absolutely hysterical. He took a picture of him on his flight back to Australia. He goes, "I'm halfway through this book and I'm closer to finishing the story than Cody is."
Ooh. That's good.
So, like, I mean, do we get kind of a romantic argument with Cody and Seth, where Cody accepts his help or what? Like, here's the thing. Does this lead to a tag match at Mania?
I hope not. I don't care about the tag match. Like, yeah. I don't need everyone wrestling on two nights of WrestleMania. Like, I don't need it.
And you're two nights for a reason. And you don't need to injure Seth more than what he already is.
Yeah. This story right here doesn't need Seth. Like,
no.
At all. In fact, it has nothing to do with Seth. As much as he wants it to be, it doesn't.
Seth's just trying to stay relevant as long as he can.
This is why are you still here? Go home.
Stay on Raw and just fight there. Fight your Drew.
Yeah, dude. Stupid.
It is gonna be a weird Seth is fat. Stop it, Wade. Stop it so much. But this is gonna be an interesting segment because this is gonna tell you a lot about what they're gonna do going into Mania. And that, folks, is all of Elimination Chamber. Four matches, one talk show, probably a lot of promotional video packages and all that stuff just to waste time and to try to keep you awake at 5 a.m. on the East Coast, 2 a.m. on the West Coast for this event. So final chamber, or final PLE leading into Mania, because then after that it'll be like 30 days or less than 30 days. Or getting close to that point, till WrestleMania in Philadelphia. So, Mr. Tarasak, how many crowns would you give this? Crown this. One being the worst, 10 being the best show in the world.
I'll get a strong 7.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I don't expect much from this. Chambers, I mean, when you have a gimmick, this is like the last of a gimmick pay-per-views that they do. It's like the only one that's left. Because I don't count Royal Rumble as a gimmick pay-per-view, which I guess it is, technically. You can argue that. But this is like, this all hinders on the Elimination Chamber event and the matches. And they're going to be good. I think they're both going to be good. I think the men's are going to outshine the women just by a little bit. But I don't expect crazy movement out of this event at all. So I'm going to go 7.5.
Okay.
It's going to be a good average chamber. I feel like a lot of it depends on number one, the chamber, and number two, how crazy that Aussie crowd is going to be.
Yeah, the crowd's going to be fun.
Yeah.
The crowd's going to be
fun. I mean, they're in a giant. You've seen that stadium. That stadium's huge.
It's the it's a soccer stadium or a rugby stadium.
Something like that. It's massive.
Yeah. Dude, you know how much the Daytona 500? You mean that stadium seats?
That's huge. They've held like a they held a football game in the infield, like a college football game.
It's like over 100,000 people.
Yeah, it's a huge place. It's
fucking for NASCAR.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts in the middle of Florida. It's central Florida, dude. Like, what?
It's huge. Nuts. Absolutely huge.
Absolutely nuts.
No, it is. NASCAR is a nutso concept in and of itself.
I just forget how popular NASCAR is. Like, honestly forget that NASCAR is like an actual sport.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at this point in my life, I'm more privy to F1.
I mean, very different, but same sport.
Yeah, I mean, I know F1 people who, like, look down on NASCAR.
I mean, I get it, because F1 is it's cooler. It's not just a circle.
Yeah, but there is a difficulty to NASCAR. Like, the physics of driving in a car like that is kind of nuts.
Yeah, you know how strong your forearms need to be?
Yeah, to hold the wheel?
Yeah. They're ripped. NASCAR drivers are swole. Yeah.
There are no heavy-set NASCAR drivers for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't drink milk after for a reason as well.
Yeah, just to like hydrate. Like, so the thing with, I know we're on a wrestling podcast, but I got to talk about this because I played on like, you know, Forza games and whatnot, and they're, and you can play on like the Daytona 500. You know what makes it really freaking hard? The turns are at like a 45 degree angle and you're going 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, you got to slow down.
Physics is not in your favor when that happens.
Yeah, you gotta really slow down. It's, no.
Yeah. Like, it's not that they're running in a circle. They're running in a circle on an angle. And when you're going that fast, you literally, if you don't control it, you will crash into the wall every time.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's called centrifugal force. I don't know. I never took physics, but, you know, I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express one night. So there's that. But alas, folks, Elimination Chamber happening this Saturday freaking morning. I can't believe I'm actually going to try this out and see if I actually survive. I got to remember I'm in my mid-30s, but be it as it may, that concludes our show this week. Again, I told you it's going to be short. We're just going through Elimination Chamber, some Hollywood Rocks, some WWE World. And I mean, that's pretty much it. When we come back next week, we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you guys a little preview. Next week is a company that we all really like to actually, you and your wife have pancakes on deck. Wade, I will be down in Florida for that if you're going to have pancakes for Elimination Chamber. Next week, we're going to come back on Tuesday. Again, we're going to do another preview of AEW Revolution. You know, that other wrestling promotion that people sometimes talk about now. But AEW Revolution is very significant for maybe one big thing. It is potentially, and more than likely, hopefully more than likely, the last match in the career of Sting. So we're going to do a lot of commentary about Sting and his career, and the fact that they made him a tag team champion with Darby Allin right before this event, only to drop to the fucking Young Bucks. That's the story right now.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be a lot of Sting retrospect. It's going to be a lot of AEW Revolution. They do have a potentially great triple threat for the AEW world title as well. We're going to review that card, but again, we're going to talk a lot about Sting. It's going to be a pretty fun show, I think, because I've met Sting. Will, I think you met Sting as well, the same WrestleMania, right?
Yes. Yeah. Very briefly.
Yeah. Steve's great. Because he wasn't Sting. He was Steve that time. But Steve's awesome. So we're going to talk about that. Like, Sting, again, one of the most iconic characters in the history of all of pro wrestling for all the right reasons. And almost a member of the NWO, the original NWO. Until, you know, creative control, brother, and all of that stuff. So be on the lookout for that next week. But with that being said, ready to get the show on the road? Yeah, you are. Hit that music. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 368, our first ever Chamber Danger show, which I'm really upset it took us, 9 years to get Chamber Danger? Way too long. Anyway, the first of many Chamber Dangers for as long as we do this podcast. I'm your host, King Ricky Rose. You can find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets, B-I-G-Z, Ambassador Biggs. Will is very happy about that because I'm finally back on all of that social media. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews. Links to all of that are in the descriptions below. We are a member of Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Find Wrestle Addict Radio socials at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and at Wrestle Addict Radio, all one word, everywhere else. Will Tarashuk.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Will Tarashuk. It's T as in Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. All my sets. I love spelling my name like that. It's been a wild ride. I'm excited for this show. I'm actually, wrestling is hot again. Wrestling is very hot again, and I can't wait to go on to WrestleMania. I need another vacation, even though I just got back from one. So that was fun. Ricky, I got to tell you all about Harry Potter World and Universal, because that's where we were last week. So
all the things I know nothing about, which I should if you've seen my dating history.
Everyone stay tuned for the post show. But yeah, Ricky, next week's going to be fun, talking all about Sting and Steve Borden and why Joker Sting's the best Sting.
Oh, that's going to be a good conversation. That is going to be a very, very good conversation. Yeah, folks, when we come back next week, we're going to talk about Sting, AEW Revolution. Hopefully kayfabe is feeling better and they will be back as well, because I would love to see kayfabe's take on Sting as well. So if you're watching us right now live, stick around for the post show. If not, be like Slack and just, you know, fuck you, Slack. So goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. We do need to find a way to get Slack on, or maybe not. We'll figure it out. Anywho, fuck you, Slack. We'll see you later.
This has been a WrestleAttic Radio branded podcast.